Hello and welcome to episode 191 of the Overseas Connection. I almost forgot the name of the podcast. That would have been a total disaster for the start of the show. But it is the Overseas Connection. This is the official podcast for the gaming for the elderly community. And it's October 23rd, 2012. Bit of a strange format tonight. Greg is in the Windy City, Chicago, eating pizza or doing something weird. So I have to take over the helm. So this show is going to be a mess, an absolute mess. And to join me on this absolute mess of a show, on my left, my virtual left, that is Christopher Matthew.
Why, hello, everyone. It is going to be a bizarre show tonight. I promise not to do anything really weird.
I was waiting for you to do something weird. That laugh that you just heard is Daniel Natman, or Hardly Dan, as we also know him. Welcome to the show, Dan.
Good evening.
Thank you for coming on such short notice. By short notice, I mean like literally, I think less than that. I think it was like 2 minutes before the show started.
What you been playing? What you been playing? What you been playing? What have you been playing?
So thank you for coming on. Richard Primrose isn't here tonight. And also, obviously, Greg isn't here tonight. So I say we get stuck in. And first of all, we have to mention the Extra Life VGHub.net event that happened. What a huge success that was. Dan, you took part in it.
I did indeed.
So let's start with you. How was it?
It was a nightmare.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
You played the simulator game, right?
I played Grid. Well, the idea was I was going to drive around Le Mans for 24 hours. Turns out you can't turn off damaging Grid unless you've completed the game. I haven't. I lasted about 6 hours, which I think is pretty good going considering there's full damage.
That is rough. Like, I mean, I played Dirt and fell asleep. And they're similar games, to drive and stuff. But our driving games can get dull after a while if you're not into them. Definitely. Oh, my God. Don't know how you did it.
Yeah, well, I failed miserably at that and ended up playing Guild Wars 2 for the rest of the night. Unfortunately, I had a medical complaint, which I'm still suffering with, and I need to actually finish off my catch-up. I'm going to be playing again for the catch-up weekend.
Okay.
Which is a nightmare. But I'm going to be playing Snuggle Truck for 24 hours.
Snuggle Truck. I have played that. That's the game where you have to sneak immigrants in the back of your truck, right?
And
it's
that was Smuggle Truck. They had to rename it for Apple devices to Snuggle Truck.
Cause, right.
Illegal immigrants doesn't really help hold with the iOS terms.
See that. That game was good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. I played that at Eurogamer last year.
Going to see if I can get the world record for playing that continuously.
So, Extra Life has happened. We should probably talk about a few of the things, amount of money people have raised. Greg himself, on his own, raised $2,746, which is ridiculous. Unbelievable. I have no idea. I think he's laundering money or something.
There was one big donation in that.
And it was anonymous as well.
Nearly half of it.
Which means, by anonymous, which means it was me. So,
No, actually, it was me.
In total, the whole VG Hub team raised $7,685, which is phenomenal. And well, quite high up in the ranks, I believe.
Yeah, it's not over yet, because I've still got a couple more that are promised to come in. So.
Yeah, that's another thing I should mention, that you can still donate, I think, this week. Yeah,
I think there's 3 more weeks.
Really? Well, Greg,
I think there's a month in total.
That's not bad. So you can still donate if you haven't yet, and add to the cause. I can't remember how high up we are in the ranks of highest people that raise money, but I think we're up there anyway.
Yeah, I think we're in the top 30.
There's going to be plenty of mentions of all the people that were in it, so I won't go into everybody that was in it. But we should say kudos to Greg for taking part, and you, Dan, well done. It's such a great cause, and Greg, I believe, will talk about what he did specifically next week. but so we won't go into it too much. I know it involves XCOM or something. Hey, Dan, seeing as you're on the show, what else have you been playing?
I've been playing some Guild Wars 2.
You mentioned this.
Yeah, I've been playing a lot of Guild Wars 2, since it came out. That's the thing. I hate MMOs. I tried World of Warcraft once, which, you know, apparently was the be-all and end-all of MMOs, and I didn't like it
right.
one little bit. Didn't even. I had like a week's free pass, and I played it for two sessions of a couple of hours each, and I was like, nah, not for me.
Gotcha.
Steve kept going on about Guild Wars, and, you know, got to get Guild Wars 2. You're gonna love it.
Guild Wars. My impression.
And it's a good impression. I'm sure he'll love to hear that.
Have you played Xenoblade?
You make him sound like a Muppet.
Hey.
I tried it. What was it last year at Eurogamer? And I was it could be all right. And then Steve got me a pass for the weekend a few weeks before it released, and I tried it out, and I was like, actually,
addicted.
It's pretty cool. And well, since it's been out for like a month now, I guess.
Right.
I've put in over 300 hours.
Jesus Christ, Dan.
So maybe.
Yes, I think that's an addiction.
Yeah, I'm actually meant to be playing it now because there's some new Halloween stuff out and I want to try that. So the sooner we get this done, the better, really. Can we hurry up?
Sorry, mate. What else have you been playing?
I had a go on the demo of Forza Horizons.
Right. I pitch it to me. I don't know anything about this game. I know it's driving and stuff.
Well, you know, the old Forza's basically track-based, continuously, you know, track-to-track, and that's all it was. This, not so much. It's open world, a bit like Test Drive Unlimited, I guess.
Oh, right. I remember that game.
Yeah, but fun, unlike Test Drive Unlimited.
Yes. I remember that game, yes.
There's some brilliant races. There's one I did in the demo. You know those crazy races they have on Top Gear? Where they like race against some guy falling out of a plane or whatever.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Well, I was in a Mustang Boss. I can't remember what the 4-2 something or whatever it was. Petrol heads out there will crucify me if I get it wrong. Anyway, so I'm not going to even attempt to get it right. And I was racing against a Mustang plane.
Sweet.
And it's a checkpoint race. The checkpoints are in the same place, but the plane's got a different kind of route because, you know, it can't turn as quickly, but it's quicker on the straights. And it was really good fun. Fantastic. I didn't expect it to be good. The handling, you know, still there. It's spot on.
Is it ridiculous, like burnout ridiculous, or is it?
No. There's no, you know, checking traffic. And actually, I don't know. I didn't hit any traffic because I, you know, thought that would probably slow me down.
Yeah. You want to avoid that?
Yeah, no boost button.
No.
There's, you know, there's no kind of burnout paradise ramps that there might well be, but no, none that I found in the demo. I just wish it was out on PC. Other than that, you know, apart from the fact that it's Xbox only, it's a great game.
Yeah. Can you not get it on the Windows thing?
No, you can't get it on PC.
At all.
Forza is an Xbox exclusive. It may well one day turn. You know, it's a stupid move of Microsoft not to allow it on PC because there are so many PC gamers out there that love their driving games.
Especially at the moment, because PC is getting a big boost at the moment because everyone's sick of consoles.
Yeah, it seems like we're on the cusp of some kind of PC renaissance at the moment.
I think that's
because PC's kind of got so much further ahead graphically, and
I think
the games are so much cheaper. I think they might have things to do with that.
I think you're right. You know, it's a combination of a few things, and also like when the new consoles come out. They'll change their models, how they sell the games. They have to be cheaper because the PC's changed the game.
Just one quick thing. I was in game the other day. I was going to get F1 2012.
Right.
And on the consoles, you're looking at about 40, 50 quid.
Yes.
PC, 20.
Yeah.
Same game. Looks better on the PC. I'll go for the PC version.
Yep. My friend of mine is absolutely crazy into F1. Loves his F1. And he plays a lot of those games. I don't know. I've tried, Dan. I've really tried to play it.
They're not for everyone, especially the latest ones. They're very kind of sim-like.
Yeah. And you get to do interviews and all sorts. I didn't know what was going on. Oh dear, it was rough. Is that all from you, Dan?
I think, but yeah, I can't think of anything else I've played recently.
I want to go back. We glossed over Guild Wars 2, right? And I was going to ask you, kind of, I don't really know much about it. So, like, is it a free game? Do you have to buy it?
Yeah, basically, you buy the game, and that's it.
And
if you want to,
subscription, right?
There's no subs at all. If you want to, you can buy in-game currency called gems, which you can then convert to gold.
Do you buy any of those?
No, I haven't bothered. I've thought about it. They've just released the prepaid cards, and I thought about it. But if I was to do it, it would only be for things like maybe an extra character slot. As I've not used all of those yet, it seems pointless.
Is this a game where you pick your class and there's other people walking around, or is it just you?
Yeah, it's actually brilliant the way it works, because I like my RPGs, and generally, you know, I'm the kind of guy that'll pick up, you know, something like Skyrim or Oblivion and, you know, get really immersed into that game, and I'm so used to it just being me in mm-hmm. there with all the NPCs. But the great thing about this is they've you can play it just like that, but whilst you're going round, there'll be like these events popping up, and all the other people that are in that area will just swarm in and help you out with it.
Okay.
And it doesn't matter, you know, you won't get anyone stealing a kill from you and taking the loot. You know, when you kill someone, you get, even if you hit them once, you get XP from that. If they drop loot, it's your loot, no one else could nick it. So that's kind of nice, the way you've done that kind of closed system with it still being open at the same time. So much fun.
What's addictive really about it? Game. Is it just the leveling up?
Oh, everything. The music's fantastic. The crafting is brilliant. One of the guys I play with, he's got to the full level on every single crafting skill that you can. So he's like 400 in chef, armorsmith, weaponsmith, huntsman, blah, 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 and everything else. I think there's 8 different things you can do. He's got most of them. It's so much fun to play. Going through the dungeons is brilliant. The levels, you know, the missions you go through just get more and more epic. I played one the other day and with Gary Lever, one of my sponsors on The Extra Life. Thank you, Gary. Otherwise known as Amorous89. And it was so much fun. I just wanted to do it again. So I've started a new character so that I can do it again at some point. It's fantastic. You know, it feels like you're playing in a living, breathing, evolving world.
I've never been tempted by a MMO. I really haven't. I really haven't been tempted.
No,
I
wasn't at all ever. You know, if anyone said I was an MMO, I'd be like, yeah, okay. I got so many invites to MMOs over the past few years, but I've not even installed them.
Okay.
And now this is just wow.
Is this just one of those games where you could craft and then sell it and then just do that all through the game? Could you do that?
Yeah, you can do. I've got my, I've got to the stage where I can craft bows for any level. So if I wanted to, I could just go. You can get to level 80 just by crafting if you're that way inclined. It would be a waste of 40 quid for the game if that's all you can do.
If you really like making boats, though. If you really like making boats.
Bows, not
boats. Oh,
bows.
I thought you meant boats.
Yeah. No, not
boats. How little I know about this game. I think you can make boats.
Yeah, you can't make boats.
Damn. Well, this has failed for the game of the year for me.
It's really, if you've got a PC that can run it, and let's face it, my PC can run it, which isn't great, it's well worth checking out. Unfortunately, there's no demo at the moment, but I'm sure that's going to change at some point.
How much is it to buy, flat out?
It depends which version you go for and what deals are about. I think if you get the digital version on Green Man Gaming with their 20% off at the moment, I think you can get it for about 35 quid.
Okay.
And it's well worth it. It really is. You can go up to 120 quid for the collector's edition with a kind of foot and a half statue and the box. It looks amazing. Oh, man, I wish I had the money to buy that. It looks so good. But I digress. Really worth checking out. It's. I've not had so much fun playing a game for a long, long time.
Guild Wars 2.
Yeah.
Game of the year for you, Dan? Could it be?
Yeah, definitely. And I don't think
it's
I'm going to stop.
It's that time of year soon, mate. It's that time of year.
I don't think I'm going to stop playing it until Star Citizen comes out.
Till what comes out?
Star Citizen. Google it, check it out.
Right.
Awesome. Coming out in 2014.
14.
Yeah.
That's the future.
Yeah, I know, it's the future. Oh, and oh, it looks brilliant. Fantastic sci-fi brilliantness.
Okay, well, I'll check it out later. Yeah. Thank you very much, Dan.
Pleasure.
Christopher Matthew.
I've only been playing one game really this week, and you probably know I've just been playing XCOM, playing XCOM. That's been about it.
How many hours have you sunk into it?
Not really that many, because I only get a couple hours a night. I say only a couple hours a night. A couple hours a night is pretty good, but I don't have a heck of a lot of time to sink into it.
So how you finding it?
I'm really liking it. I think it's really well done. I would say that this would probably be my game of the year.
Really?
Yeah, I think excuse me. If I was going to judge a remake of this game that I remember so fondly from being younger, this game has gotten everything right that they could get right.
Is there not anything in the game where you've been a bit disappointed with that they had in the old version?
No, I don't think so. They really have done a great job of capturing all the essence of the old one.
Because I remember people...
Controls.
Say it again. Sorry, Dan.
The mouse and keyboard controls.
So I've been playing it on the console.
Yeah, that's what it's designed for.
And it's definitely designed to be used to use a gamepad. And so I've been finding that to be really good. I played the demo on the PC, and the keyboard controls were a bit lacking. They weren't as good as they could have been. But it's really optimized to, it really flows well with the Xbox controller. So yeah, I think it's great.
I heard some people kind of talk about, because in the old one you could like manage your ammo or something. Is that right? You could buy your ammo. You have to distribute it. And some people were complaining that that wasn't in this one.
Yeah, the inventory management is a little bit slimmed down, but that doesn't bother me at all. I honestly think it's better that way than it was previously.
Right.
It's quicker. You know, all the strategic things that you had to worry about in the first one are still there in terms of building your base and keeping all the various nations in the coalition or whatever they call it happy. You know, all those important things are still there. So I'm okay with, you know, the individual soldier management being a little bit less intensive than it was in the previous. So last week, Greg was giving me some grief for reloading saves.
Oh, right. Okay. So like, what you'd fail and you just reload your save, or
fair enough. That's not really cheating because it's in the game, but it is cheating because you can never lose if you do that.
It's like because if you lose a battle, like you don't like restart it, do you? You just lost that battle. Is that right?
Right. Yeah, you can lose missions and still win the game.
And you can lose the game, right? You can actually lose.
Yes, you can actually lose the game.
That's amazing.
So what I did based on that, I was listening to Gamers with Jobs, and they were talking about Iron Man mode, so classic Iron Man mode. So I started a new game in classic Iron Man mode, which is you can't go back and reload your saves and do all that other shenanigans. You just gotta go with what you got.
Just, right. Okay.
Much more challenging that way. But it is a more interesting game because you definitely take your time when you're playing that way. Make sure that you don't do anything foolish.
And you're just going for the campaign.
Yeah, I'm not really interested at all in the multiplayer. Listening to a few other podcasts over the weekend. From folks who've been playing this game, and it sounds to me as though the multiplayer is in there simply so that they could put the word multiplayer on the box.
Really?
Yeah, not a lot of people have a lot of good things to say about the multiplayer mode.
Do you know what about it feels tacked on, or do you just don't know? You just heard?
I haven't tried it. It's all based on opinions that I've read or listened to. But it's only one player versus one player.
Yeah.
It's only one game mode. So, you know, it's just kind of, And I don't know what other types of game modes you could do with it. It's not really a game, in my opinion, that lends itself well to multiplayer. I bought it to play through the single player, and that's all I really am interested in. I may try. I'm not saying I won't try the multiplayer. Maybe one day, you know, Greg and I will give it a whirl, or someone else who has the game. But
I would have thought that was a guaranteed kind of hit with multiplayer.
Yeah, you look at something like StarCraft, and
yeah.
So the difference is, right, with StarCraft, that's all happening in real time, right? If you're slow on the move in StarCraft, your opponent can pounce on you and make you pay for it. In this game, everything's turn-based. So if you were playing against me, I think you would probably not like it because I take forever with my turn.
So it's a lot more like Civilization V multiplayer.
It would be a lot more like a Civilization multiplayer,
Is there a time limit on? Can you impose a time limit for the moves and things like that?
I don't know. I haven't tried the I haven't tried.
Oh yeah, of course, yeah.
It would make sense to put a time limit on it, but I don't know if there is one. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that the multiplayer mode is competent, but I'm not. I don't think that's what sells the game.
Can you do like random skirmishes? Can you just like be dropped in random battles, or is it all just campaign stuff?
Against the AI, against like a skirmish battle against the AI.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that option. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I haven't seen it.
Okay. Yeah. So I don't really know the game. I've played the game very briefly, but I don't know much about it. It looked cool. I was impressed, but. Yeah, all I've got it to compare it to is Halo Wars, which is, you know, the only RTS I really like.
Different from Halo Wars.
Yeah, I know. Is that it for you, Chris?
That is it for me, Mike.
That is it for you, Chris. Well, I have finally finished. Jesus Christ, I have finally finished.
You
Golden
finished
Knight.
Jesus Christ.
I finished him off. Like I had enough of him. I thought, how dare you come back after 3 days?
I shall nosh you off.
GoldenEye 007 Reloaded. My God, this game has killed me. I've been playing it on classic 007 mode, which I know is probably why I'm suffering with it. What that means is you play it exactly the same way you would play GoldenEye 007 on the N64, which is your health does not regenerate, and the only health that you can have is body armor. So, it's pretty tough, is what I'm saying. And the last boss is just ridiculous. Ridiculous. And it's just a bullet sponge, where it's kind of akin to Uncharted 2 and that last boss, where you just run around shooting him as long as you can while other dudes try and shoot you, and then a helicopter comes. And you still have to try and shoot him. And you can't get shot for more than like 10 seconds and then you're done. And your health doesn't come back. It's unbelievably difficult. Finally did it today. Finally got it done. And I could not wait to put that game back in its sleeve for Love Film and fuck it right off. Jesus. I've never been so happy to seal the envelope. So it's not very good, is what I'm saying there. I don't know if you picked that up. I really don't want to go back. I started Azura's Wrath. Have you played this, Dan? Chris, I don't think you have you? But
no, you just made me think of Guild Wars 2.
So Azura's Wrath is one of the weirdest shit I've ever played. The game starts off with you flying through space, shooting stuff at your hands, at what appear to be very bad-looking Reapers from Mass Effect, and that's pretty much all I know because I skipped every cutscene, and I got to episode 2, and all I did was play 2 minutes, because if you skip the cutscene, there isn't much there. I just skipped. Fight for 2 minutes, skip, and I got to episode 2 in the game. And there's like, I think, 15 episodes.
So you're not the guy to ask what the story's about then?
Oh, I have no idea. I was fighting with these three other dudes in space, All right.
Yeah.
Which sounds good on paper. This is all great on paper.
Bond should never go into space. Remember Moonraker? No, don't
exactly.
Do it.
Well, we don't even want to talk about Moonraker. The 007 Legends is apparently awful. But you know, you go in space, you fight with these three other dudes, which I'm assuming like have the same level as you. You're some kind of warrior or god or something. And then I skip, and now I'm fighting them. I have no idea what's going on. And
could
I think
there be a reason for that?
That I'm skipping the cutscenes.
Yeah.
But to be honest, Dan, I think if I watched the cutscenes, I wouldn't still have a clue what was going on. This game is ridiculous. I cannot stand. It's very Japanese, and I'm not saying that in a, you know, I mean it as an insult. I really do. They can't tell a story, and they're really not doing a good job here. I have no idea what's going on, and I at this rate I might finish it. Because I'll only have to play it for 10 minutes if I keep skipping all the cutscenes. So, yeah, I've just started that. I play a little bit more of Halo Wars. I love Halo Wars. It's just the bollocks. I also played Zombie Driver. Has anybody heard of this?
I had a little look at it. It looks interesting.
Chris, I'm going to take a guess that you've never heard of this ever.
Never.
Never. Like, ever. All right, so this game is a top-down, slightly isometric driving game where you run over zombies and get stuff. Have I sold it to you, Chris?
I'm buying it right now.
It's vomit. It's garbage. It's awful. And never touch it, please. Please never touch it. I did intend to play the new Worms game, but cause I'm a big Worms fan. Haven't tried it. Didn't get a chance. And that's about it, really, from me. If anybody else has got anything to talk about what they've been playing, we can move on.
You just reminded me of something I found the other day.
Go on.
I'm surprised it worked. I found Worms 2 for PC.
Ah.
Sitting somewhere in a corner. And it was in a box on its own. It's got the CD key printed on the disc, which is genius.
Yeah.
And I wasn't expecting it to work. Put it in. Windows 7 PC. Perfectly.
No.
Beginning like intro scene, tiny little rectangle in the top left hand corner, the rest of the screen's all black. So I'm thinking, well, this isn't going to work. Play the game, absolutely brilliant, runs perfectly. So yeah, I've had a little go on that recently.
Yeah, that was the one before Armageddon, wasn't it?
It was the one after the first one.
Thanks, Dan. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was. Look, Armageddon was the one that I got into big time. I don't think I played 2.
I remember playing 2 with a friend of mine, and we just like Dark Side missions where we'd basically build ourselves into corners and then try to attack each other. The game should last like an hour, 2 hours.
Yeah, I mean that's a standard tactic, isn't it? Where you just dig, dig, yeah. dig.
Digging girders.
I got into Worms Armageddon so bad. I was doing like rope race maps. I was making rope race maps, and there's bazookas and grenades, and your worm couldn't move. So all you could do was just throw a grenade or fire a bazooka, and those games lasted hours, just hours, because it's just constant miss, hit, miss. That's all it was. God, I missed that game. Anyway, nostalgia. Dan, nostalgia. All right, time to move on to the new releases. This is the part where Greg has to read out a long-ass list that I have to do this week. Fantastic. So, new releases for this week. The dead console that is the Nintendo Wii. Just Dance Disney Party is going to be released for about $30. And for the Nintendo DS and 3DS, Professor Layton and the Miracle Mask. Still churning out those Professor Layton games, bless them. Savvy Style Trendsetters. You a trendsetter, Dan? You going to be getting this?
I don't have anything that will play it, so probably not.
I think you should buy it anyway, you know what I mean? Because it's such a trendsetter. Zero Escape. Virtual's Last Reward. They're all $40. Go out and buy them now. On the PS3, Cabela's Dangerous Hunts. 2013. I believe this is the more survival horror version of the game, of Cabela's hunting games. There is another one, Cabela's Hunting Expeditions. I'm not really sure which one's which, but if you fancy getting your hunt on, this is definitely the game. The Killzone Trilogy is out for $40. That's not a bad price for three games. I'm not sure if they all have their own trophies. They probably do. Probably one of the biggest releases this week is Medal of Honor Warfighter. We'll see how to get it just before Black Ops. And the other release is Naughty Bear's Double Trouble. Yes, that's right. They are releasing another Naughty Bear. Wow. On the PSN this week, it's The Darkness 2, no price for it. The Killzone Trilogy, which is available for download immediately. Medal of Honor is also available for download. Starhawk, the single-player campaign, is also out. The Unfinished Swan, which is a pretentious game for people that think they know what kind of cool arty games are like. Win Back, Convert Operations, which is a PS2 classic, which no one cares about. Demos on the PlayStation. Jeopardy. Yep, Jeopardy. Sports Champions 2, which I'm guessing is a move game. And The Wheel of Fortune. Yay.
Wow.
Yeah, Wheel of Fortune. I don't think Bruce Forsyth is going to be in that one, though, unfortunately. DLC. There's going to be DLC for Hell Yeah, Pimp My Rabbit, and Hell Yeah, Virtual Rabbit Missions. I have no idea who names these things. And Worms Revolution. We were talking about Worms. Worms Revolution Fun Pack is also a day one DLC release. On the PS Vita, Street Fighter Cross Tekken, which is available for $40. Super Monkey Ball Banana Blitz, $30. Zero Escape Virtual's Last Reward, also available on the Vita for $40. There's some PSN games. I won't go into them. They're just boring. And that's it for the Vita. So the Xbox 360 now, Cabela's Dangerous Hunts 2013 and Cabela's Hunting Expeditions, Medal of Honor Warfighter, Just Dance Disney Party, and the other big release this week is Forza Horizon, which you mentioned, Dan.
Yep.
On Xbox Live Arcade, Guilty Gear 20 or XX, whatever they want to call it, Accent Core Plus, $15, 1200 Microsoft points. No demos this week, or according to this, there's no demos. On the DLC, some Hell Yeah and some World Revolution stuff as well. On the PC, doing this for you, Dan, and I think Greg usually reads these ones out. On the PC, Cabela's Dangerous Hunts, Deadlight, which is finally coming to Steam, Elemental Fallen Enchantress. Dan, help me out.
No idea.
Thank God for that. Farming Simulator 2013. Dan, help
really
me out. You're from Devon.
That.
You're from Devon.
Well, I'm not originally from Devon.
You live in Devon.
Yeah. It's one of those. Actually, there's been a whole load of them. Every few months, a new farming sim seems to come out.
Bit of a cult classic now, these farming games.
Yeah, I really want to try one out, but no one's. I've put them on my wish list on Steam, and the hope that someone will buy it for me as a joke, and no one has.
Put it in between some other games, you know what I mean? Maybe no one will notice. FIFA Manager 13, which is a pretty big deal here in Britain, is out this week on the PC. A Game of Dwarfs. I have no idea what that is. That's $10. Gainers, Sisters, Jesus Christ. Hell Yeah, more stuff. Hotline Miami is out on PC and the Steam. I love the look of this. Hotline Miami is a game where basically you play a psychopath that has to kill everyone as quick as possible. It's a top-down, kind of like GTA 1 style game. I think it looks pretty cool. What else we got? Medal of Honor Warfare, of course. Nancy Drew finally is out. And Worms Revolution, the Fun Fair Pack, is also out on the PC. And that is it, everyone, for the new releases on October 23rd, 2012. Boom.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
News time, everyone. I picked out some news things. I'm just going to quickly mention them. If anybody cares, speak up or forever hold your peace. The first one, Chris, I expect you to care. I'm not sure if you're going to get it, but there is some DLC announced for XCOM. Chris,
really?
Do you care? Yes.
Actually, I do. I'm going to go check this out.
Apparently, as soon as my Firefox browser starts to wake up again, I will tell you what it is. 2K Games of Fire Axis have announced the first downloadable content for XCOM Enemy Unknown, entitled Slingshot. The DLC packs in 3 new council missions with a new unique story arc. The story takes place in China, and says designer Amanda Gupta revolves around a badass triad operative named Zhang. Zed, badass, will be a playable character, and unlike other XCOM soldiers, will feature a pre-designed face and unique voice. Excited, Chris?
That sounds cool. I'm glad they're doing DLC for the single-player campaign versus adding multiplayer maps.
Giving people what they want.
The council missions are special missions that pop up every now and again and give you pretty good rewards. They're sometimes somewhat challenging,
right?
But they give you pretty good rewards. So yeah, those would be nice to have some more of those pop up.
Okay, I'm having a scroll. Can't really see how much it's going to be. Do you have any limit to how much you would pay for a DLC like this?
If it's only 3 missions, I wouldn't pay any more than 800 points. That'd be stretching it.
800 would be stretching it.
Yeah, I mean, I would think either $5 or $10. You know, $5 for 3 missions, $10 for maybe if there's more missions.
I reckon.
Here we go.
What does it say?
Oh no, that's the Elite Soldier Pack, which is something different.
It just says the price and release date for Slingshot will be announced soon, so we don't.
Yeah, apparently I need to redeem a code for this Elite Soldier Pack. I'm missing out.
You're missing a trick there, mate. Missing a trick. Other news now. This is not so good. Apparently, these are rumors, by the way. But Zynga, Boston, Austin, Chicago are shedding staff. Not a fan of Zynga, Dan?
Not really, no.
No, they
could you guess?
Draw something big time. Yes. Apparently they're not doing very well at the moment and letting go of some of their staff. I don't really want to go into too much of this because it is a rumor and we don't know everything. But it's not looking good. John Riccatello did mention that social gamings are here to stay. And he hasn't done it today yet. Any thoughts on that? Dan, do you think this whole Zynga have their day? Do you think they're going to last?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think they probably are going to last. But with the Facebook losing money there, actually today it was on the news about that, but their share price going up, you know, it's hard to really speculate what's going to happen with them. I think, it's a hard time for a lot of companies, and they're probably just getting rid of some of the dead wood.
Cutting the fat.
Yeah. So, fat. Yeah, unfortunately, we probably haven't seen the end of them.
Cool.
Sorry, did I sound negative then? Didn't mean to.
Slightly. The next piece of news now is about the Wii U. As we know, Nintendo don't do a very good job of their online store, online identity, friends lists, and so on. But it has been kind of like slightly leaked out for a privacy policy that EA mentions that a Nintendo Network ID is required. What this means, no one really knows, to be honest, but it's the first inkling that we might get some kind of consistent name. Maybe it'll be a number, because, Nintendo like the numbers. I don't know. To be honest, I'm not very hopeful. I'm not very confident that Nintendo will do a great job on the online section of their Wii. Their new Wii U. I don't know about you, Dan.
Yeah, I'm not confident. And actually, Steve won't like me for this. I don't really care.
He loves the Wii U, doesn't he? He loves anything Nintendo.
I couldn't give two hoots.
I think it's going to suffer. They've really backed into the whole online thing.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Wii U, if the Wii U fails, it's going to be a big step towards them going software only, like Sony. Not Sony, Sega.
I don't know, because they're all about quirky hardware, aren't they? Nintendo now.
Yeah, but
that's weird.
I don't want quirky hardware. I want good hardware that can push the limits of what I expect.
Hmm. Well,
that's why PC.
If there's
games...
one thing I've learned about Nintendo, Dan, is they never really give you what you want.
Yeah, and I, you know, I always quite often make the mistake of underestimating what they're going to pull out of the hat. So it's bound to be a success because there's people like Steve that are going to buy it.
Right, next new piece of news. Not really gaming related, but it is in a way. The next iPads have been revealed. I have been back and forth about buying an iPad. They are a piece of electrical equipment that I will never ever need, but I desperately, desperately want. Thoughts, anyone? Is it? Does Chris? Do you own an iPad? For some reason, I think you do.
I do. So you're absolutely right in that you will never need an iPad.
Mm-hmm.
The question I would have then is, what do you want to use it for? And that would, you know, that would kind of tell me whether you should get one or not. So I bought mine because I like to take it with me to the gym.
Right.
So laptop doesn't really work very well at the gym, but the iPad works really well. It's also great on an airport or a plane trip. So basically the iPad has replaced my laptop for traveling.
Yeah, I think the reason why I would want it, I would use it at work because we have a lot of meetings at work. We have to take notes.
Yeah, there's some pretty good note-taking apps, and you can get a stylus for it pretty cheap to actually write with your hand, or if you're good at typing.
Yeah.
At least I find the virtual keyboard is actually big enough to type on pretty competently.
Yeah, yeah. My mate at work, he has an iPad. When we're in meetings, he's taking notes on his iPad. All right, and I feel left out, you see. So. And with the good thing about them is that you can write your notes and then you can email them straight to yourself, or you can put in a Google Doc pretty much straight away. So they're quite useful for that. Another reason is because, you know, I'm out and about and I'm here, there and everywhere, and I like to kind of have something. I take my laptop around with me a lot, but I think it's just easier to take an iPad because what I use it for is watching things on YouTube or browsing the net. So that would be nice.
So I do find that it's not great for broadband, not broadband, but 3G. So I have a 3G model.
All right.
3G is not great for streaming video.
I don't think I'll get a 4G, because it's 4G now, these ones. But I don't think I'll get the 4G model. I don't think I'll bother.
Well, if you can find Wi-Fi, then yeah, it's great for that.
Yeah.
But if the 3G version that I have is not great for video streaming.
No.
That's really weird, because a few weeks ago, the internet connection was out for where I live, and I tethered my PC to my phone using my 3G connection, and I was able to stream stuff off the iPlayer and do pretty much everything apart from gaming.
I think a lot of that depends on where you are.
I live in deepest, darkest Devon.
Yeah, but you live in the United Kingdom. Generally, yeah. Across the pond, the architecture for wireless and, you know, 3G and digital voice is much better than it is here in the US of A. So you'll probably have better luck there than we will here. But I mean, it's good for. The 3G is fine for browsing, like doing internet browsing.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't do, like, I've tried to stream Netflix with it and tried to stream Hulu Plus with it.
No go.
When I'm at the gym. And a lot of it's location. I live, you would think, being only 50 miles north of New York City, I'd be able to get all the data that I want, but apparently they're using it all down there and I can't have any.
Goddamn New Yorkers.
Yeah.
Another legitimate reason for getting one, though, it would be games.
There are some good games on it. I mean, it's a great device. I don't want to discourage you.
But you don't need it, though, do you?
No.
Well, here's my question. Why would you spend all that money on the iPad where you can get a, some would say, better tablet device running Android?
I haven't. I've played with a few Android tablets. and I haven't really found one that I fell in love with.
Yeah, fair enough. I think that the price point is way too high for my liking.
Oh yeah, I mean I agree. It's they are overpriced, but it's kind
of coming out with the new iPad Mini allegedly.
Yes, no, that is my next piece of news.
Yeah, it was announced today.
It was announced today. The iPad Mini is official.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
In addition to the new regular size iPad, Apple has revealed the anticipated iPad Mini, designed to serve the just now invented market for a device smaller than the iPad, but bigger than an iPhone. The new iPad Mini is 7.2 millimeters thick and weighs 0.68 pounds, as light as a pad of paper, said the Apple marketing VP, Phil some guy. The screen is 7.9 inches diagonal versus the existing iPad, which is 9.7 inches. The resolution is 1024x768. Very strange resolution. Is identical to that of the iPad 2 screen, but not the Retina display of later iPads. The 16 gig iPad Mini is $329. Wi-Fi models begin shipping the 2nd of November, with the 3G versions going out 2 weeks later.
So I want to say that's about the same price point as the, what was the Samsung 7-inch tablet, the Galaxy Tab that they tried to introduce?
Yeah.
And the problem with that was there wasn't really a market for it. So I don't know. I mean, Apple's pretty good at creating markets for things.
Yeah, they make their own markets.
That market exists now with all the people that have been buying the Kindle Fire HD, the Kindle Fire, and the Google Nexus 7. And they were really talking about the comparisons between the mini iPad and the Nexus 7 and highlighting everywhere that it's better than the Nexus 7, but missing out all the points where it's actually worse.
Yeah, of course.
The screen resolution isn't as high, battery life isn't as good, connectivity, the closed market.
Say again, Chris.
Who was doing this highlighting?
Go with Apple, because it was, you know, they're not going to highlight faults in their device.
Of course.
Yeah, of course. But, you know, it's very compatible with the Nexus 7 in terms of, you know, overall features and you know, pros and cons of each kind of balance out. But the Nexus 7 is considerably cheaper. So,
I am very doubtful about buying hardware day one. It is very rare for me to do that. Partly because I usually don't have the money at the time. And also the other part of me is thinking, how do I know if it's gonna fail? Like, what if I spend that much money and go, oh, that was a joke. What if I bought the Virtual Boy day one? You know, that's what
I'm
thinking.
You don't want to be the guy that bought a Betamax player.
Exactly. So I always wait. I mean, I'm tempted to get an iPad like 4 because I know they're gonna be good, and the iPad 3 wasn't much of an upgrade, to be honest. So an iPad 4 I could get on board with, but an iPad Mini I'm not really too sure about it. I mean, they might take off and everyone says they're way better and their value for money is better, but I don't know. I always wait and see.
Now, do you think the iPad 3 might actually be a worthy investment? I don't know if investment's the right word, but you might find good utility in an iPad 3 because that Retina display is really good.
Mm.
And I believe there's actually some decent video editing software you can get for the iPad.
Well, you can get iMovie for it.
Right. Well, and I think there's some third party stuff that's even better. Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, iMovie is a decent video editor. But to be honest, Chris, a few people have said that to me. Like, you can edit video on the iPad now. We did an experiment with an iPad. Uploading a video that got around about 100,000 views because we filmed it at a football match and it was like a big event. And it was unedited, and it went up raw, just completely unedited. And to be honest, YouTube has its own editor now where you can trim off the ends. So okay. If I wanted to really do like a rough video, I could do it, and it wouldn't. I don't think I would. What I'm saying is, I don't think I would waste my time putting it in a video editor. If I do want to edit on the go, I've got my MacBook Pro. So I don't know. That to me, that's not a selling point for me.
Well, I think again, you kind of hit it on, you know, the very beginning of this, the discussion, you kind of hit the one salient point. You certainly never need an iPad.
No.
It's a nice to have thing.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's a kind of, it's almost like a fashion accessory. Well, it is. It is a fashion accessory, especially Apple. It's always like kind of, hey, look at me, I've got an Apple. Moving on from the iPad stuff. Smart glass is a thing now. Xbox Smart Glass launches for Windows 8 tablets on October 26th, which is 3 days from now. And it's going to support, there's going to be an app you can download, and it will support Dance Central 3, Forza Horizon. Those are the first two games, and it's basically a second screen, which is kicking the Wii U up its arse. Are we interested? Do we care about this? I mean, is anybody... The big investment, obviously, is the whole Windows 8 tablet. But is this something... Is this tempting for anyone?
Yeah, because it's not just going to be on that.
Oh, right. Forgive me.
They're talking about apps for Android and Apple devices as well.
So, I mean, this could be pretty big, then.
Yeah, it could be absolutely huge. I'm still not sold.
No, I mean, but if it's an app and you've got the iPad already.
No, I'm going to try it out.
Why not?
As long as I don't have to have a gold subscription to use it, then yeah, I'll try it out.
Do you think it would be on the iPad, considering it's Microsoft and Sony and Apple, sorry?
Well, yeah, because they don't have a console competition, and that's what this market's all about.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
And, yeah. You know, the more devices that they can get smart glass on, the more likely people are going to be to pick up the 360 and use it.
If they can have it on the Android tablets alone, that would be great. But if they can have them on the Apples, like you say, this could be a pretty big deal, I think.
Yeah, it's not just going to be tablets either. It's also going to be compatible phones.
On the phones, right. Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of people already have the hardware to run it.
Sweet. I think it could be a bit of a gem. It really depends on how Microsoft treats it, to be honest. But hey,
yeah, I'd love to be playing something like Skyrim and be able to just, you know, touch the map on, yeah, you know, have the map on my phone and
that'd be cool.
touch where I wanted to go and see it pop up, or maybe equip items from my inventory. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, why not?
I'd like to see that happen on the PC as well.
Ah. So, yeah, well, I wouldn't be surprised if Valve came along and started doing things like that. I'm sure they've got something in the works. Right, that's it for the news. Quite a long segment on the show this week. And next is the community mailbag. Yay. This week's question... on the community mailbag is, with all the major titles coming out for this holiday, are you even willing to give Xbox Live Arcade, PlayStation Network games a look? So, we'll start with you, Chris. I know your gaming time is precious these days, because how life is, but do you even look at Xbox Live Arcade games or PlayStation Network games at this time of the year, or do you just look at any game that's good?
I don't really look. The Xbox Live Arcade, when I first got on the Xbox, nothing on the Xbox Live Arcade really caught my eye. The recent improvement in quality of the Xbox Live Arcade has led me to look at them. I just look at all the games. I'm not really differentiating.
You're not fussed.
Yeah. Like I, if it's a good arcade game, sure. But it, you know, it's got to be pretty good. But there have been some pretty good ones in recent memory. So, yeah, I'll take a look.
Dan, I know you're not on Xbox Live Gold anymore.
Yeah.
But PlayStation Network games, or when you were on Xbox Live Gold, you know, did you take them seriously? I mean, you're a big advocate of indie games in general.
Yeah, yeah. I always, you know, used to always have a quick look at the indie games marketplace. Every now and then there'd be a little gem out there, like Applejack. That's going back a bit. That was fantastic little platformer.
What about the arcade game? This time of year, when it's so busy.
This time of year. I mean,
you know, Christmas for gamers. And, do you...
I think it's got to be something pretty damn spectacular to actually get my attention. And to actually get the money out of my wallet, because there's things coming out that I'm thinking, right, I need to save a bit of cash for that. I want to get that. I want to get that. And, you know, the way... I suppose it's going to be similar for a lot of people out there. You know, you've got to think about Christmas, buying gifts for other people and whatever. Your money's at a premium. And yeah, things that are the Xbox Live Arcade games that may have been an impulse purchase in the past and early other time of the year, they're kind of out the window at the moment. I'll have a look at them some other time when I've more flush for cash. So,
My kind of point of view on it is, I don't think many great Xbox Live or PlayStation Network games come out at this time of year.
No.
I think the only ones that's going to catch my attention will be The Walking Dead, and that's because we're all invested in it. You know, we've all started it in the summer. Bit of a genius model, really.
I haven't started playing it yet.
No, it's very good, but I really can't think of many Xbox Live arcade games that have come out in this crazy season. They usually avoid them. Which is why we have the Summer Uprising or whatever it's called.
Yeah, like Trials came out in the summer, and I picked that up. But if it was to come out now, I probably wouldn't have bought it.
No. And you know, Mark of the Ninja came out perfect. Like, no, there's nothing there. It came out before Borderlands and all that stuff. So, and that's one of the best arcade games. One of the best games of the year. I don't know if I've ever mentioned that. I don't think I have. Let's go to the Gaming for the Elderly forum. Chris, I believe you're taking the helm on this one.
That I am. Yeah, I'm ready to go. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Markenix starts us off saying, as there is so much to play, I tend to only pick up arcade titles when they are on offer and they got good reviews. So he's looking for the sale. Good idea. DSUVZ says, I agree with you there, Markenix. Gone are the days where I checked Xbox Live Arcade release dates. They should have applied a flat rate of 800 Microsoft points. 1,200 Microsoft points, in my view, is a tad pricey.
Mm.
Steve-O-Matic says, until they are priced appropriately or go on sale, then I won't bother with arcade titles. The same titles tend to go on sale for insanely cheap prices on Steam, which this is an excellent point. You know, I got Bastion on Steam for like, I think, $2 or something ridiculous like that. So I would rather purchase them on my PC than on my Xbox. I think he's probably being burned in effigy right now. Rogue Spear says, I don't care about XBLA. I just feel the need to shoot something with high velocity 5.65 millimeter rounds, which I believe is 5.56. And it's that time of year again. Bring on Black Ops 2 and Medal of Honor. Little foreshadowing. Or drink beer. I'll go with drinking beer. And the Ginger Ninja finishes his stuff with, there's an arcade? When did they sneak that in? Does it take 10 pence pieces like the one by the fish and chip shop around the corner?
They tried that. It was called the Games Room, and it never worked.
I put some quarters in my Xbox the other day, and I had to go get a new Xbox afterwards.
Yes, don't do that. Don't do that. Dan, do you mind taking the tweets for us? There's only three of them. I know I sprung it on you a little bit.
Yeah, I had a funny feeling that would happen when I read the first name.
Fantastic.
The first one is from Gangu Crimes, and he says, only my new iPhone, best platform for indie/arcade games. I'd say the same for Android as well. Android. Ooh. Dave Dog says, if I get something recommended, I'll give it a look.
Fair enough.
And good old Pete Red Dog says, you can't lump Steam in with PSN, Xbox Live. Steam is the AAA game platform. Always got time for a quick Unity of Command battle.
I'm guessing you've never heard of that game.
No, I haven't.
Neither have I.
I was just wondering where the lumping Steam in with PSN and XBL came. That must have been a previous thread. or something.
Well, Steve-O did that during the Xbox Live on the Gamer for the Utterly website. Now, I don't know if we've got some cross-contamination of social networking happening there. I suppose that is the very definition of social networking.
Right.
Yeah. And yeah, you gotta say some of those deals on Steam and also Green Man Gaming. Gotta check them out.
I mean, I'm not a big, I have a Steam account. I'm not a big Steam user, but when I did go on it, I mean, I just bought Killing Floor because it was so cheap. Like I've never played it, but you just buy it because you're not used to it. I suppose people are getting used to it, but you're not used to high end games being so cheap, and you just snap it up.
The thing I found is the Steam community is absolutely fantastic. You know, you've got the wish list thing there. There are so many games that people have bought me.
Yeah.
That I put them on my wish list thinking, well, mainly as a note to myself of stuff that I wanted to get because I might have forgotten about it at some point. And actually, a seriously high percentage of my library is stuff that other people have bought for me.
And I think it's...
That doesn't happen on the Xbox Live or PSN, really.
Well, to be fair, though, to Xbox and PS3, you don't really have that option to. You know, they don't give you the option, which is why Steam is so great, because, you know, they do give it that option to people, that freedom to say, hey, you know, you can buy games for other people.
Yeah, well, I'm sure play this with you. Here, have a copy.
I'm sure it's not difficult to do, but it would be cool if you could just say, I bought, you know, this Xbox Live Arcade for somebody instead.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, the closest thing I guess we get is, you know, buying it from someone on Amazon and shipping it out to them, but and that's going to be expensive. You don't get the sales.
It's the convenience of it, you know. It's the convenience of, hey, you know, I just gifted this to you. Brilliant.
Yeah, it's instant,
and it's right there, and it's like a little surprise when you open it up. They should incorporate that in Live and PlayStation Network. That would be nice. Right, that's it for the question of the week this week. Next week's question of the week for episode 192 is simple. It's Blops 2, yes or no, and why? Are you going to buy Call of Duty Black Ops 2? It's always a big controversial subject every year because everybody hates the man and everybody hates success. So are people going to buy Black Ops 2? And if you are or you're not, tell us why. Yeah, and you get to us through the usual ways. There'll be a thread on the forums, emails, which we'll read out the address later, tweet us, all that usual stuff. Events and happenings. Chris, I believe this is your baby.
Yes, it is. And I'm really ready for it.
Brilliant. This is all staying in.
Good. So let's see. Still got the Minecraft thing going on. Apparently we're going to Minecraft World Version 3.
There's a massive update for Minecraft at the moment, and where basically it's called Creation Mode, which allows you to float around wherever you want and spawn in as many different blocks of whatever you want. So you can it's Lego, infinite.
Like the PC version.
Yeah, yeah.
Always has been.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Dan. We get it.
Friday Night Racing this week, Friday night, 8 p.m. British Standard Time. Is going to be Friday Night Racing. It's going to be Forza Horizon this week, not Forza 3. And get in there because this is likely going to be the last of the Friday Night Racing scene games. Right. Veteran gamers are going to do something on Steam because we've just been talking about how cool Steam is.
Yeah, that's as far as I know. I remember Duke saying it was something on Steam. I can't remember what it was. I don't think he even chose something. I don't know.
That Duke is a crazy, crazy guy.
He is.
Good. And then Madden 13 tournament. Happy birthday this week to Quijibo Jones, the Big Mac, and D-Zubs.
Happy birthday.
Welcome new members, Woods People, Kelly Bean, and Knight XXXL, who reminds you to check in on the forums every now and again.
Huh.
This week's victory achieved entrance. Congratulations to Knife Party 2381, who finished Dishonored, Bongo the Sane, who finished Walking Dead Episode 1, and PG Tip 77, who finished Dishonored as well.
Still haven't tried Dishonored. Still haven't done it.
That's a great tag. I want a cappuccino.
Heard good things about Dishonored.
Yes, I've heard many good things.
So the first drawing, got to get your entries in by October the 31st.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be doing, I believe, quarterly drawings.
All right.
From here on out. Yep.
Cool.
So the first one ends October 31st, and then we'll go three more months.
Never going to finish Guild Wars 2, Dan. Sorry.
Yeah, if only it was a game that was actually qualified back then.
Yeah, it's got to be. So that's a good segue into the rules there. You must put your face in the picture of the end game or some other achievement showing you finished the game. You must follow the G4TE.com on Twitter, spell the dot. And you must be 18 years of age.
Yeah. You must.
Or over.
Or older, yes.
No, you're just going to be 18. Just 18.
At least. Yeah, only if you're 18, which eliminates everyone else who's currently entered.
Yes. There's going to be that one guy.
Yeah. And I believe that brings us to Mr. Nose.
Yes, this is the Community Spotlight, which is passing now, so we'll play that now.
Hello, peeps. This is Mr. Nose with another weekly Community Spotlight. This week, I would like to mention those guys who took part in Extra Life over the weekend. I think they did quite an astonishing job. They raised $7,700 almost for sick kids, and I think each and every one of them deserves a mention. So here goes. There's 14 of them. Greg DeLacy, who raised a huge amount of money. Robin Tate, Gary DeFelice, John Conger II. I didn't know he was the second. That means there must have been a first one. David Brown, Chet Galvin, Daniel Natman, Dean Riley. Who's that man? Mark Wright, Nick Old, Scott McGregor, Louis Raimundo. Nice name there. Ryan Truman and Bobby Gooding. So well done, all of you lot. That really is astonishing. Nearly $7,700. And speaking of money and nice people, I want to thank Shinyverse and his wife because they donated another 3 month subscription to Xbox Live Gold for the Minecraft account. So we're good until next year now. So thank you to you guys, and that's it from me. I will catch you another week. Bye bye.
Thank you very much, Parsnip Nose. I think we can all agree that well done to you, all you guys. Including you, Dan. We said that at the start of the show. Well done.
Well done, indeed.
Well done. We do have another clip from Bongo the Sane. But I've figured that I will play this at the end of the show because it's quite long. But he goes into all the people that have donated money. So, bless him. Bless him. So I'll play that at the end, because when I started listening to the clip, I was like, he's not going to name them all, and then I looked at the length of the clip, and I was like, yes, he is. So and the next thing we should mention, I suppose, is the Indie Writers Block.
We recently started this up on the Gaming for the Elderly website. It's just a place for independent game writers to come and write about really whatever. It's slightly different.
Just about games. Like, it's not just reviews. It's like gaming in general, opinions.
Yeah, and it's not even really limited. You know, so game reviews, kind of gaming lifestyle, how gaming impacts. You know, whatever you feel like writing about.
Gotcha.
You can put
maybe
in there.
Some fan fiction or something.
I don't know if anybody's gone that way, but I don't see why we couldn't. So Shinyverse is moderating that. So he's kind of reviewing everything and seeing if it's kosher.
Uh-huh.
How it differs from posting in the forum is the threads are locked. So it just gives you a chance to put something out there, it's not really starting a conversation. It's just kind of putting an article out there, and then that gives us a chance to push those articles to other websites and maybe help some people gain some exposure. So just something we're doing to give the community a bit more of a face.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool. No, it does sound cool. So if you do have any questions or you want to take part in that, there is an email specifically for it. It's iwb@g4te.com. They also have a Twitter account, which is @iwblock. That's better, isn't it? Because that's what it is.
Yeah.
Infinity Ward Block. I can remember it like that. I was supposed to check the iTunes reviews. Guess what? I didn't.
You didn't.
So we'll save that for next week. So I'm sorry if you've written a review. I'm not running out this week. Closing notes are, right, email the show if you want to take part in the question of the week, or tell me that I did a terrible job this week hosting the show and you want Greg back. The way you do that is email with the email address ocpodcast@gmail.com. You can tweet us. Chris, what's our Twitter?
You would tweet us to @OC_podcast.
Fantastic. You can call the show or leave us a voice message if you want, but no one does, so I won't bother reading out the number. iTunes reviews, we love them, even though I don't read them out. Greg still puts the fact that there are Zoom reviews that exist, but no one cares about those. Closing comments is the last thing that's on the list of this show notes document. Closing comments for you, Dan.
Yeah, I'd just like to thank everyone that sponsored me this year, Extra Life. You're probably going to hear your name out any second now from that call that we've got, a recorded bit that's coming through. And thank you for Marmite for the free stuff that you sent me. And don't forget to check out The Gamesman. We're recording our last 10 shows soon. So, you know, if you like the show, have a listen because it's ending soon.
Let's not gloss over that fact. The Gamesman RPG podcast, unfortunately, is coming to an end.
Yeah,
it's due. I believe it's because of Steve's change in his home life, right?
Yeah. Steve's gone and got the missus up the duff.
He's gone and gone and have a baby.
Yeah.
So that affects things, Chris. I'm sure you can sympathise with this.
Yeah, I think it won't. I think he'll probably experience something similar to me, and it won't be long before he'll find the way to carve out the time because podcasting is part of his normal.
Yeah, I don't think this is. You probably know more than me, Dan, because you speak to Steve more than I do. Mm. But I don't think this is Steve saying he's never going to podcast again.
No, he's open to the ideas of like guesting on shows and things, but he wants to commit as much time as possible to being. You know, it's one thing that he thinks, you know, it's the best thing he can do with his life is being a father, and he's so hyped up about that. You know, he's not going to be able to give enough time to doing a regular podcast. So we're calling it quits for The Gamesman. It's not the last you'll hear of Steve by any means.
No.
He'll be popping up on shows all over the place.
Steve will be around. And I'm sure, Dan, you will be as well.
Yeah, if anyone will have me.
Yes, you're on the show tonight. So, yes, we you're always welcome on this show.
Fantastic. We do often need a substitute British person for our sleepy other British person.
Yeah, and we also sometimes need a substitute American person for when Chris or Greg aren't here, so that's where Steve fits in. So,
and a token PC gamer, perhaps.
Well, let's not go crazy, Dan. Let's not go crazy. Chris, shout-outs.
I'm gonna cop out, and I'm going to shout-out everybody on the VG Hub Extra Life team.
Too easy. Too easy.
That includes me. Thank you.
They did raise a lot of money, and that's a good thing.
It's a ridiculous amount of money.
It is a ridiculous amount of money. And I'm going to shout out Greg and Rich because they missed a good show.
Yeah, I think we did a pretty good job, considering all things considered. My share will be not to Extra Life. Of course, they did a fantastic job, but we all know that. I will also share it my friend who ran a half marathon on Sunday in Birmingham. He raised, I can't remember how much he raised, so I don't want to. I can't remember what it was, but he raised some money, and it was for the Stroke Association. So well done to him on completion of the half marathon, 13.1 mile. He was rough at the end of it, my God. but he did it, and he did something that I couldn't do, not at my physical state at the moment. So well done to him. I'll also shout out the fact that there is a new video on the Veteran Gamers YouTube. Veteran Gamers is another podcast I might be affiliated with. I don't know. Yes, I'm shouting them out on the Overseas Connection. That's right, Greg. There's nothing you can fucking do about it because I'm hosting. So there's a new video of us at Eurogamer. So if you want to see what we all look like, go to YouTube. It's quite a popular site. /VeteranGamersUK, I believe it is. Or it might be just Veteran Gamers. Or just type in Veteran Gamers Eurogamer 2012 and you'll see it on the YouTubes. That is it from me. If anybody else has anything else left to say, I don't think so.
Watch me play Extra Life Extra Life Snuggle Truck for 24 hours this weekend.
Are you streaming it?
I will be, yeah. It'll be twitch.tv/hardlydan.
I made a Twitch TV account for Veteran Gamers today.
Yeah.
I have now got a capture device, the PVR capture thing now.
Cool.
I've been testing it. I've recorded a little bit of Halo Wars today. Not to put up or anything, just to see what's going on.
Yeah, and
I'm currently working out the streaming thing because the software, because I use it on a Mac and you have to download a different piece of software, and it doesn't give you a preview window. Then you got to download something else to give you a preview window, and then you got to download. Oh my god, it's ridiculous! I have to open up three programs just to get this thing working, but I'm determined to get it sorted. So, cool. Where can they go to see you play? Whatever you're playing on, actually.
Yeah, Snuggletruck. That's it. twitch.tv/hardlydan. Nice and easy.
Fantastic. And that will be when?
That'll be Saturday morning, 8 a.m. until I kill my computer.
So that's Saturday the 27th of October, right?
Yeah. I guess that's the date.
I don't think I'll be tuning down. I'll be in Oxford, I believe, on Saturday, but...
I might still be playing by the time you get back.
Maybe.
If I fail miserably, I'll be going to Guild Wars 2. So.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you very much for listening. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Dan, for coming on the show. Fuck you, Rich. Fuck you, Greg, for not coming on the show. This is the Overseas Connection, and we are going away now. Bye-bye.
Well,
look at that. So I'm trying to fuck you. Do what I want. I'm the host today, so I'm doing what I want.
You're very nice, mate.
I mean it in a nice way, though, Chris.
No, okay.
Yeah. Chris, say something funny for the outtakes.
Mike Chin is the tallest British person I know.
Dan, say something funny for the outtakes.
Who stole my goat?
Sweet. Brilliant. We got some outtakes.
I will try not to click my Xbox controller loudly.
You're not one of those. Yeah, no, you are one of those guys that plays games whilst recording. Curse you.
Is that bad?
I just like to give 100% concentration to what I'm doing.
I like to think that I try to do that, but
and
after
my
a while,
Xbox is so freaking loud.
I look at my Xbox and it's sitting right there, and I think, fuck it.
I can never give 100% concentration to anything, really.
No.
It's probably a character flaw.
Alright, we all sorted. No typing and stuff.
Hang on, cigarette's gone out.
Fucking
sorted. Got a surprising amount of stuff today sent to me for free from Marmite.